Welcome back to another episode of the Days Gone By podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 7, and I'm your host, Matt McBrayer. Do you want to know how to have a good gospel meeting? You're listening to the right sermon, but if you're listening for the first time, you need to go back to last week and check out Part 1 of this sermon from Brother Gary Cawley. Now let's listen to the preaching of God's Word from Days Gone By.
In the service tonight, to be able to participate in these songs and to be able to pray unto our Father, and of course to be together in fellowship of the gospel. We appreciate the presence of all, as been expressed before, and especially our visitors. We want you to know we're happy you're here, and we hope that you will want to return at every opportunity that you have. Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we meet for our midweek Bible study here at Get Well, and we have good services at that time, good classes for all, and we would like for you to be a part of that. And we encourage you to come and to be in those classes on Wednesday evening. By Wednesday night, we hope to have some advertising that you can pass out for the gospel meeting. And the elders have decided that, so we want to do that if we can possibly do it. And so be sure that you're here so that you'll be able to get that advertising and be able to give it to your friends and your neighbors. We, of course, are interested in this gospel meeting because the Lord told us to be. He said, you go teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to observe all things that I taught you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So with his encouragement, with his desires, with his commands, we want to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We discussed this morning, of course, that we're studying how to have a good gospel meeting. And the wonderful song we just sang, Can He Depend on You, written by a big Indian named Chief Bacon, was a beautiful song and certainly carries with it the ideas that we've tried to present today. We all want to be dependable, don't we? We want the Lord not to be let down because of us. And we want Him to know that we are doing our very best to serve Him while we're here below. So what it is for, of course, makes it important. And that's what we've been discussing today. It's not only for ourselves, but it is for the public. And, of course, we are going to profit from it. We'll talk about that some more in a minute. But we also want the public to profit from it. We're seeking souls, bringing them to Christ, where they can find the forgiveness of their sins and the hope of heaven at last. So we have honored guests in our Lord, in Mr. Sinner, and also Mr. Erring Christian. And we want all of these to come because of the good that may be done for them. And the purpose, of course, is extremely important. As we seek the lost, we want to glorify our Father in preaching His Word and upholding it before the world. And we have discussed this morning that we need to have everything in readiness. We need to be sure that we're ready and try to make others ready. We need to imitate the Christians of the first century as they took the gospel to the world. You know, it's true that when Paul went into a place, one of two things happened. Either there was a riot or there was a revival. He always went in with the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the dynamite of God. That's what that word means. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. And therein is revealed God's righteous plan. From faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God, of course, has always been interested in numbers. Christ was interested in numbers when he was upon the earth. He would teach one or he'd teach 1,000. It didn't matter. He was ready at all times to preach the word because he came to seek and to save the lost. His interest then in them ought to be our interest. And we ought to do all that we can to carry the gospel to all who are about us. He did those missionary tours, so did Paul. And we, of course, are on our mission now. We're carrying the gospel ourselves. We are the ones upon whom the world depends. And we need to verbalize our Christianity, speak to all that we can about the gospel, because it's entrusted in our hearts and our lips. And we, of course, remember 1 Peter 4:10, according as each has received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as of the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. We're not looking to glorify ourselves, are we? But we're looking to glorify Him. And we can't wait for angels to tell people what to do. We can't wait for the Lord to tell people what to do, or the Holy Spirit, because they haven't promised to do that. After the Great Commission was given, it was given into the hands of men. And the Lord is not going to speak directly from heaven to anybody. Angels are not going to appear to you. The Holy Spirit is not going to shake you. They're not going to speak directly. But you know, we're saved to save others by teaching. And that's what Jesus meant when He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One person wrote, no hands but our hands. Said Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to His way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, given in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the type is blurred? What if our hands are busy, pardon me, with other works than His? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things His lips would spurn? How can we hope to help Him unless we learn to learn? Well, this is certainly true. There's no hands but our hands, and He wants us to be serving. Can He depend on you? Can He depend on me? That really is important, isn't it? So, as we notice, we need to verbalize our Christianity. We also need to vitalize it. And when we vitalize it, it means what we're going to do with it, how we're going to put it into action. Well, how can we do that? Well, by our influence, of course. That's what we mentioned this morning. The greatest influence, the greatest invitation for this meeting will be your influence. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall it season it? It's henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. Now, He said, you're the light of the world, are we? We sang this morning, send the light. I think it might ought to be the light. Be the light. Because that's really what we are to be, isn't it? And ye are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, so that it shineth to all that are in the house. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11-12, Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims that you abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And he said, have your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak of you, against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is the day of visitation? Well, it's the day when the gospel is preached to them. And when the gospel is preached to them, they're going to remember your life. They're going to remember the works that you have done. And if those are good works, works that glorify God, they're going to be obedient to the gospel, because they will be influenced to do it, having seen your good works. That's what he said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So the poorest influence, of course, during this meeting is for us not to attend ourselves. You know, only Sunday morning attenders never do convert anybody. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever noticed that? People only who are here on Sunday morning, and of course you're not the ones that we're talking about tonight, pardon me, but they're not usually those who convert anybody. They're not faithful in that they are only part-time Christians. They're only here on Sunday morning. They don't come other times. We need to encourage them, don't we? We need to strengthen them in the faith. And every member should feel, of course, that every sermon that's presented during this meeting is designed to draw him closer to God. You remember Psalms 25, where the psalmist said, and we should pray, show me thy ways, O Jehovah. Teach me thy paths. Guide me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art my God and the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day. Did you notice the six personal pronouns that are here? He didn't say teach others. He didn't say guide others. He said do it for me. Let me know thy will. Let me do those things which I ought to do. And this is David's confidence, of course, in God that is shown here. So as we notice these things, we realize the importance of our lives. vitalizing our Christianity, putting it into action. What are some of the things that will be seen during this meeting of us vitalizing our Christianity? Well, punctuality is one of them. We need to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, ready for the next thing to come. And you know, God always observes time. The seasons show that, don't they? We may not be ready for spring, but it's here. We may not be ready for summer, but it's coming. And we know it is because God's time schedule always works. You can set your clock by the tides, and the sun comes, the moon comes, the stars come, and they do it on perfect timing. God sent His Son on perfect timing, Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law. His providence is always timely, isn't it? When you need it most, that's when it's there. And isn't it great to look back and to see the providence of God in your life and realize what it means to you? Well, you know, it can mean that same thing to others if we can bring them to Christ. And so that's important for us to do, isn't it? And His redemption is very timely, too. So, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 minutes before time of 7 o'clock each evening during this meeting, we ought to be here. We ought to be down front. We ought to be ready to sing, and we ought to sing. Because Ephesians 5:19 commands it, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. We have a wonderful song leader, and we have wonderful singers here, and we can show the world exactly what the Lord had in mind when He commanded us to sing. In Colossians 3:16, He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord." We can be friendly and happy during this meeting, can't we? To everybody that comes, and especially our visitors, don't rush away. Give the visitors time to be met, and be sure that you meet them, and do so with warmth. Do so with enthusiasm. Do so with the spirit of fellowship. It's very important. The early church had that fellowship, Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayer. And they were praising God and had favor with all the people, verse 47 says of Acts 2. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as were being saved. You can be inquisitive too, not so you can gossip about somebody, but be inquisitive for your brother's sake. Ask pertinent questions that you may be able to give to the preacher so he will perhaps have something different to say because of someone in the audience. Sometimes those who are not known are not able to be reached because the preacher didn't know what needed to be preached. But if he knows, he can do that. And we are our brother's keeper, are we not? Cain said, when God said, "Where's thy brother?" He said, "I don't know." Well, he lied. But he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, he was. But he didn't want to be. And Paul said in Acts 20, verse 26, 27, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." We don't want to shun that either, do we? We want to be sure that we give our neighbors and our friends and our relatives all the gospel. And we don't want to hold back anything from them. And you know, we need to be reverent. By our example, we teach many. In our prayers that we pray, we ought to use the highest reverence we know. And we ought to do that even when we're singing the invitation song. You know, that's an important song. That's a song when people may be making up their minds to obey the gospel or to be restored. But if you're putting on coats and you're throwing your songbook in the back of the pew, or you're doing something else besides concentrating on inviting people to come, that's not the proper reverence, is it? We need to be thinking about what we're doing, because that person may see us not interested, and they think, "Well, I won't be interested either." And so they're not. So because of that, let's think about that and think seriously about it. When Paul said, "Preach the word," that's going to be done. "Be constant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort," that's going to be done. "With all long-suffering and doctrine," I'm sure that'll be done. "For the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine." You know, meetings have never been accidentally successful. But they have been successful when men were willing to work. When those in the church were willing to give forth their effort, that's the prescription for a great meeting. And the success that we will have in this meeting, of course, is in direct proportion to several things. First of all, it's in direct portion to our faith. Second of all, to our zeal. Third of all, to the work that we invest in it. And it's going to be something that we need to be sure we understand. We need to remember this meeting in our prayers, don't we? You know, Paul said, pray for the brethren and pray for me in Ephesians 6, verse 18 through 20. And these, of course, are indeed important. 1 Timothy 2, 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. They prayed for the preacher. We ought to do the same. And they prayed for the brethren and for their souls. I owe this meeting my participation. Not only my prayers, but I want to be a participant in the meeting. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I owe this meeting my personal direct efforts toward the winning of souls for the Lord. And I know I owe my great priority to it. I need to put it first. I need to put it before entertainment. I need to put it before the family things that may come up. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming or buying up the opportunities of the time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we need to be sure that we are putting our priorities in the right place. Paul said when he went to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when we attend, my friends, it'll put the Great Commission into its best effect, won't it? It will be that which will be carried out in our lives so that others may profit from it. The three M's, or the five M's actually, of the Great Commission are very important. There's movement. There's also motion, there's message, there's the master, and there is that majestic offer of joy and love and contentment and praise and giving the real meaning of life. We want people to have that, don't we not? That's the reason we're having this meeting. And you know, surely I owe this gospel meeting the priority of my faithful presence. I need to be sure that I've made my plans to be there for each and every service of this meeting. Somebody might say, well, what's the meeting mean to me? I know we're seeking the lost, and that's true, but what will the meeting do for me? Well, it has an effective means not only to seek the lost, but it's a tremendous help for Christians. We can be strengthened, first of all, in our faith. We can be built up spiritually, can't we? You know, the more we eat the Word of God, the stronger we are. Just like the more food that we take that is important to our health is good for us. And so, working and listening and singing and praying, these are blessings that we can have, and certainly they are those things which Romans 14:19 says, so then let us follow after the things that make for peace, and things whereby we may edify one another. Also, your conviction will be strengthened. Wherein you're strong in the faith now, you'll be stronger after that meeting, because hearing the gospel and applying it to your life will strengthen your conviction in the truth. You will be convinced and convicted that what is said is right, and it will strengthen your confidence in the Lord's church, in His Word. It will strengthen you in so many ways, so far as New Testament Christianity is concerned. What else will it do for me? Well, it'll help you overcome temptation. You know, where the Word of God is preached, temptation gets a back seat. It's not that which strengthens itself as we strengthen ourselves. So it will help us through those temptations. Oh, I know we struggle on a daily basis sometimes with worldliness. The world about us is a wicked place. There's a lot of evil there. But when we hear the gospel, we're refreshed and we're strengthened to resist temptation. And it'll restore your enthusiasm. I think it will. I think we've done so today. I think we have seen ourselves revived in those things that are good and right. And we realize maybe more what our mission is, what our importance is to the people of our community. And it'll strengthen our enthusiasm, our love, and our zeal for Christ. If it's grown cold, my friends, we'd ought to stir our souls and generate our enthusiasm. In 1 Peter 4:16, he said, now you take heed to yourself and unto thy doctrine or teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, where his strength came from, so can ours. If it came from Christ, can't we also be strengthened from him? No, effective meetings don't just happen. They come because the brethren work, because each of us realize the importance of our prayers, the importance of our participation, the importance in all things that we may do that which would honor our Father who is in heaven. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, of course, these things still can be meaningful to you because they can give you things that you're going to have to do. And they will show you what will be expected of you as a Christian. And it ought to be that which you would want to do anyway. But if you've heard the gospel and you believe it, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess the name of Christ, why not tonight respond to that invitation to be baptized for the remission of your sins? That means to be buried in water so you may reach the blood of Christ, which God will apply when you do his will, and you can be raised to walk in newness of life. You can then serve as a Christian to help others see the light and to be strengthened yourself in faith. And, of course, if you have weakened in faith and you've sinned against God and that's been a public sin, then you need to make a public acknowledgement of that and repent of it and pray God that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So if we may assist you tonight, we're going to sing to encourage you. Will you come while together we stand and while we sing?
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Days Gone By podcast on the Scattered Abroad Network, brought to you by Ironworks. You can learn more about us at scatteredabroad.org and coming soon to ironworkspress.org, or look up either work on Facebook. We look forward to studying with you again soon.